So once upon a time, some 30 months ago to be exact, the uneven ground, toxic soil, and sinking swamplands of our political landscape caused me to lose my footing. Like many, I felt outraged and disillusioned. And so I embarked on a spiritual quest in search of an ulterior geography, one diverse enough to hold a larger story, inspiring enough to restore me, and one ancient enough to allow me to see how this current landscape, while overgrown and parasitic, is but a temporary weed that hides the perennial beauty of the hinterland beyond it. Like a good UU, I went into the woods on a treological quest, and what I found there, medicine for my soul in these dark times, brought me back to solid ground. I unofficially enrolled in forestry school and have emerged better able to see the forest through the trees of this thing called messy human living. The forest is a veritable university. It is. Each plant is a library. Each tree is a wise elder and professor emeritus. And each fern and fallen leaf, a visionary navigator. To walk a wooded pathway as a student of nature is to lose oneself in a world as enchanting as it is esoteric. The woods hold many secrets and mystery tales. We've always known this. The key to unlocking these mysteries is by tapping into our seldom and unused senses and shifting away from our tried and true ways of knowing. By learning to lean in listening with all of our sensory superpowers, time slip into the forest's otherworldly pace, awaken to its spellbinding miracles, and borrow a page from the forest on how it forms community, we mere mortals can't help but be re-enchanted and re-enlivened by its unending wonders and wisdom. The forest invites us to be intrasensory, which is in part what the ecotherapeutic practice of forest bathing is all about. Or as congregant Brett Hill likes to say, forced bathing. It asks us to disengage from our usual and to attune ourselves to its multidimensional world. That means looking up to take in the giants in our midst and crouching down to behold the microcosm at our feet. It means getting tactile and channeling our inner canine to sniff everything along our trail and pressing our ears to the mist of the sleepy hollow to engage in deep listening. And it necessitates the courage and willingness to embark on our own divine comedy journey of getting WHO wholly lost as a way to be HOLY wholly found. Sit a while in the forest in complete silence and you'll be amazed, sung to the tune of "There's a Kind of Hush." When the world begins to get too noisy, which is a lot, I often gift myself the pleasure of visiting onesquareinch.org to teleport myself to the symphony of the Ho Forest on the Olympic Peninsula. And from this, I do this in the digital disconnect of my home. The woods whisper volumes, yet in a language all but inaudible to us. They speak in code and in riddles, and with discursive gesturing and an uncommon patience. Indeed, even we religious liberals could learn from their countercultural ways. Thanks to tree whispers Peter Vollebin and Suzanne Simard, we're beginning to learn about the hidden alertness and tricks of the trees. We now know that acacia trees in the African savanna send silent signals to the trees around them when predators are near by creating toxic odor that repels insects who prey on them. We've come to appreciate how redwoods move and store water for those less than rainy days, and how mother trees can feed hundreds of offspring with the help of mycelium. Forests also know a thing or ten about aging beautifully, breathing slowly, and thriving within their own distinct time zone. And obviously, because they've been around for 350 million years, which is a time span that might well have been their infancy phase, were it not for our unending deforestation and arborcidal ways. The forest naturally has a pace and patience that we can't even fathom. Yet if we could harness the same relationship with time, we'd get better at slowing down, being solar powered, and rising more rooted. Most trees in these parts live a few thousand years, so they've earned their expert status as slow motion breathers, skilled water conservationists, sustainable growers, and amazing legacy builders. Can you envision having a few thousand years to help build, feed, and shelter a family, a community, and an earth sanctuary? We live in a world where everything is urgent, change is constant, and our individual participation in evolution is mandatory. Some days it's like running an uphill marathon in a windstorm. It's useful then to remember that we can practice what Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing, by standing toe to toe and linking branches to better weather the storms, and by opening ourselves up to each other's unique view. Consider filmmaker Louis Schwartzberg's notion of this. He tells us that we need to look at life from the point of view of a redwood tree, a hummingbird, a flower, and a flea. From the point of view of a redwood tree, we're only around for a couple of seconds. To the fly looking back at us, we're a giant hand in slow motion. It gives you this respect and reverence for everything and builds compassion. I can't step on a bug now when I see one, he says, because what a miracle of bioengineering it is. When you see something for what it truly is, you protect it. Seeing the forest through the trees, the myriad isness of all life, also requires that we adopt a bit of Schwartzberg's stop motion finesse and bring with us a sense of curiosity, wonder, and a childlike magical outlook. Because miracles and mystery abound in the forest. We know this. Fairy tales aren't set in forests for nothing. Once upon a time and ever after, as past and future times are hyper-present in the moment. Our great mistake is that at some point, we stop believing this. We've become disenchanted. What this means etymologically is that we've stopped singing. And so our way back needs to be through a wholehearted reconnection to our place in the ecology of things and to our communities. The medicine of soulful time spent in the forest can help reawaken us to the extraordinary, hidden in plain sight within our seemingly ordinary days. To inhale the forest potion, which is to say the spell of all things sensuous, is to rouse from our slumbers of disillusionment, to re-enlist to the active duty of wild soul living, and like all the best woodland tales of spells, to become smitten with agape for the world once again. This spellbinding initiation that is equal parts hocus pocus and focus, this wake-up call of the forest is what allows us to believe that mushrooms really are magic, trees really do have faces, and that there is a vast networked underground down the rabbit hole below our feet that we ought be very reverential about, because the primeval forest puts our primitive social networking and tech industry to shame. Forests are the original best-selling self-help authors on how to live long and prosper. They're alive with a root system and initiated elders who help mentor the young and nurture the sick so that each eco-sibling might survive and thrive. And they abound with fantastic fungi that send sweet elixir to all, and not just on Halloween either. What the forest has to teach us about valued existence and fierce connection is that as there in this forest, so too here in this church community. Inherent worth and dignity, equanimity, acceptance, and encouragement, higher level conscience and democracy, peace and liberty and world community, an abiding respect for the interdependent web of which all are a principal part. These rules of engagement are encoded in the forest's underlying covenant and treology rings, and have been for millions of years longer than Unitarianism was even a thing in 16th century Transylvania. From the lofty heights of the top canopy to the entwined green branches, to the hardy tall timbers, to the rich ground replete with logs that are its fallen ancestors who bring new life with the carpeting of moss, to the deep root systems and mycelium below, the great wonder of the woodland world is this. The forest is able to dream big and flourish because of the actions of its quietest members, for whom service is their prayer. So the next time you find or even lose yourself in a local old growth forest, don't look up. Look beneath and below the sacred ground upon which you stand in order to see the forest through the trees. Listen closely, breathe deeply, and make a point of reaching out and touching and then hugging that green velvety tree. Maybe avoid the stinging nettles because ow, but do lend a tender pat to the long dead stump that continues to feed all manner of life in the woods. See beyond and between to the hidden places, nooks and crannies. And indeed, as there, so here. Just for fun or some much needed spiritual refueling, walk this East Shore corner and tour the grounds and each building sometime soon as you would an enchanted forest. Make a point of noticing not this pulpit, the piano, the big screen here on the chancel, but the ACE sound crew nestled on the balcony in the sound room who make services possible. Celebrate Joseph and Jalil and all the other staff who turn the lights on and off and who unlock and lock the doors when you arrive and when you leave. See with new eyes the smiles of those who greet you at the sanctuary doors, and the diversity of faces you've never noticed before, like maybe the children and youth ministry teachers, aka the unsung sheroes, heroes, and theyros. Observe the zen-like efficiency of those doing dishes and preparing food in the kitchens, or the spiritual math skills of the budget talliers who are getting real and raw with East Shore's Green Acre and otherwise building a brighter future in committee rooms. Sit a moment in the memorial garden and pay homage to those who once inhabited this place. Apprentice yourself to the perceptions of first-time visitors who are glimpsing this whole shebang with new eyes and who wish to impart to you their fresh insights. And last but never least are the youngest and freshest faces in the preschool, Sunday morning classrooms, and at the playground. If you would wish to know enchantment, ask them. They will gladly show you how to be extrasensory, present, engaged, and wondrous. This community is a bountiful arboretum in the midst of regrowth. Inch by inch and tree by tree, it's going to take enduring faith, resilience, kind nurturing, and an ever-evolving and robust team of forest tenders to cultivate its biodiversity. And more to the point, it will take some rewilding. We are a feral forest after all. And a desire to get a whole lot more radical when it comes to acceptance, compassion, and hospitality. To see and be seen, to hear and be heard, and to celebrate and be celebrated ought not be performative and play nice utterances confined to town halls and listening circles. We can find enchantment and right relations with a right here, right now, O Tannenbaum affirmation that sings of how lovely are thine branches. This is a congregation that's been leaning in, listening, and cohering hearts and community for one another for a long while now. It's normal to become complacent to one another's beauty and charms. And it's natural to feel a tiny bit weary, especially on the other side of this most recent Holy House vote. Brother David Steindl Ross insists that the remedy to exhaustion is not rest, however, but wholeheartedness. So in the interest of encouraging a kind of doubling down on beloved community in the early days of this brave new season called spring, I invite you to ponder. When was the last time you flung the windows and doors of your gilded and guarded castles wide open? Rolled out your moss carpet with flower petals sprinkled upon it in wild welcome? Or let down your bodacious hair with one another, emphasis on other? The forest inspires us to lose our minds and find our souls by being fiercely curious, present, and beguiling. And it dares us to fall in love with each other all over again on a moment-by-moment basis, even if that means having to occasionally turn each other into saplings and spruce and sequoias in order to do so. Wild, messy, unfettered, seventh principle love. If we truly wish to be an enchanting church forest, let us begin there.